God is great and he's greater than we claim. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, certainly we thank God for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Come on, smile at somebody. Smile at somebody. Smile through the mask. Smile at somebody. Come on, some of you are not smiling. You must be sad. Come on, smile at somebody. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Smile at somebody. Let them know that God is on your side. Come hill or valley, trouble or triumph, God is on your side. It's good to be alive today and it's good to be saved. And Paul said, it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. And certainly he has blessed us and he is blessing us more than we deserve. And we ought to be glad about it. If you brought a praise with you, you ought to give it to him while you're here. Amen. Bless his name. Bless his name. Take out your devices again. Take out your devices. And our goal is 100 shares consistently. We want to get the word to somebody who's near and dear us. And if it's good for us, it's good for them. And certainly we want to play our part because we are to be conduits. Amen. So take out your phones. Take out your phones and like and share. And I want you to do this too. I want you to add a comment after the sermon. I want you to go back on and part of the sermon that has touched you or that will touch you, I want you to make a comment about that on the Facebook page. So we can go down and see how the Word of God is working with you and how the Word of God is building you in your faith. Amen. So we want you to go on and like and share. And then later after the sermon, I want you to make a note. Put your comment up there that this part of the sermon blessed me. And what that part is, I want you to specify and share. So people will hear what God has said to you and what God has done for you and what God is doing for you through the Word of God. So will you do that? Listen, another grand announcement, and I want you to be as quiet as you can in response to this. We owe nothing on the Life Center. I thought I would use a little reverse psychology and say, be quiet, you would shout. Amen. Come on, God is due praise. The Life Center is paid off, and we are planning a mortgage burning, which will include myself and Pastor Meredith Walker. Amen. That we will burn it together. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. I want to thank everybody. Thank all of you for your constant and continuous giving. We thank the trustees and deacons, finance committees. Amen. For making sure the money was channeled. Amen. So we paid off early. Amen. Can I bring a phrase from Mississippi? Ain't God good? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Thank you, choir, and have sang so melodiously, junior deacons and deacons who devoted our hearts, junior ushers. Thank you for your participation, senior ushers, Pastor Meredith Walker, Reverend McCoy, Environmental Safety Team, Media Ministry, musicians. Let me just say, all of us, it's good for us to be here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 21. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. It reads this way: By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Look at somebody and say, by faith. Look at another and say, by faith. Amen. Help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith. Amen. If you believe it's by faith, go on and give God some praise on your way to your seat. By faith. By faith. By faith. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God in any way. It is impossible to please God without faith. Here it is, the Hebrew writer in chapter 11 gives 19 by faith statements. By faith, by faith, by faith. And his purpose is to show us what faith in God does. That faith gives. Faith sacrifices. That it is by faith Abel offered up unto God. But not only does faith cause us to give and sacrifice, but faith causes us to commune with God. That it is Enoch who walked with God and who was translated. But not only does faith cause us to give, faith causes us to commune with God, but faith causes us to obey God. That even in a strange time, with somewhat of a strange command, Noah obeyed God. God said to him that it's going to rain. It had never rained before, for God watered the earth from a dew that came up from the earth. And Noah obeyed God. Faith causes us to follow God in obedience unto God. That Abram was in Ur. He heard the word of God. He followed God from Ur to Haran, and from Haran into the promised land. But not only does faith cause us to give, faith causes us to commune with God. Faith causes us to obey God, follow God. But faith in God strengthens us to produce by the design of God. For Sarah was barren. She was weak. And before God changed her name, she could not produce what God had promised. But after God changed her name, after God empowered her, strengthened her, then Sarah was able to produce the promise, bring forth a son in fulfillment to the promise of God. Faith strengthens us to do the will of God. But here it is today. We glimpse one by the name of Jacob, two sons by the name of Manasseh and Ephraim, who through their experience mentioned in the text that faith causes us to worship God. that where faith is, worship is. And where worship is, faith is. That faith and worship are running mates. If you show me a person of faith, then you will also show me a person of worship. You show me a person of worship, then you will also show me a person of faith, because you can't have faith in God and not worship God, because faith in God is confidence in God. It is conviction from His word and a consciousness of His sustaining power. God, when He reveals Himself to us, we can't help but worship Him. Is there anybody in the room who have had an experience with God where God has revealed Himself to you? God has revealed God to you. And now that you have seen God, you have experienced God, you don't mind lifting up holy hands. You don't mind clapping hands. You don't mind lifting your voice. You don't mind standing up and praising His name, because where faith is, worship is, and where worship is, faith is. Last week we talked about Isaac and how Isaac blessed Jacob. That Isaac's intention, his desire, his favorite was Esau. Though God had said to his wife Rebecca that he was to bless Jacob, but yet his favorite was Esau. And so in having a conversation with Esau, he said to Esau that he wanted him to go out and fetch him some venison, prepare it so that he could eat and bless him. But Rachel was in eavesdropping, and she heard what Isaac said to Esau, and they contrived and deceived Isaac. And Isaac, after he ate, he laid his right hand on the head of Jacob and blessed him with the firstborn blessing. They deceived him. They deceived him. They deceived his senses. He heard the voice of Jacob. He smelled the scent of Esau, because Rebecca had Jacob to put on Esau's garment. And he smelled Esau's scent. He felt what he perceived to be Esau's hand in the back of his neck. But he was deceived, because what Rebecca told Jacob to do was to take a young goat and bring the skin, and she put it on his hands and on the back of his neck, so when his father would touch his hand and would hug him, she would feel his hair, or perceive that he was feeling the hair of his son Esau. He was even deceived in taste, because when he ate up the food, it was as his son's recipe. He blessed Jacob. He laid his right hand on the head of Jacob and blessed Jacob with the firstborn blessing. Now let me pause to say to us that they deceived Isaac. But what you sow, you will also reap. we love to dish it out. But we have a problem when it comes back in. See, they deceived Isaac, and we see that Jacob, he was deceived by his uncle Laban, and he was deceived by his sons. He was deceived when he went to his uncle Laban's house that he thought he was working for Rebekah. Or Rachel. He thought he was working for Rachel. And he worked 7 hard years and unveiled, and it was Leah. That's right. That's right. See, when you deceive, you'll be deceived. That's right. That's right. Worked 7 more years, and then he got Rachel. But not, that's not the only time he was deceived. You remember when he had established his family in the homeland that his sons were supposed to be in Shechem. And when he went down to Shechem, Joseph went down to Shechem in pursuit of his brothers. They went on down to Dothan where they took him, apprehended him, and put him in a pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And they contrived and concocted a story to say that Jacob had been slain, torn to pieces, torn to shreds by a beast. And they took that colorful coat and gave it to the daddy. And the daddy wept, being Jacob, sorely. He was deceived because who he thought was dead was alive. See, when you deceive, the Bible says you are deceiving and being deceived. Now, he didn't get away with what he done to his father, but somewhere between, you know, his deception and blessing of these boys, he was converted, and God's blessings rest upon his life. It rested upon his life. And so he could bless these boys because God's blessings rested upon his life. Here it is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. It depicts the life of Jacob in Genesis 47 and 48. That he's an old man now. And the Bible says his eyesight is dim. And it even goes on to say that he's at the point of death. And here's this Joseph now having his family among him in Egypt because a severe famine has hit the land, and he has moved his family from Canaan to Egypt, particularly in Goshen, where now his father is on his deathbed, and he has 2 boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. And he wants the hand of his father to rest upon his boy's head so that the blessings of God would rest upon his sons. So he seizes the opportunity to bring his boys in to receive a demonstration of faith as he saw for at least 17 years of his life before he was sold into slavery to Potiphar's, and then from Potiphar to prison, from prison to the palace. He wanted an opportunity for his boys to see faith in display. You know, we ought to seize opportunities to pass on faith to our children. You know, it's sad now that we will give them everything but faith. You know, we feel proud when our children graduate from school that if we have our name signed to a car. that they go off to college with a brand new car or a used car. We feel proud about that. We feel glad that we have reached a financial status where we can send them off to college with dependable transportation. We feel good, you know, that they have good clothing on their back, particularly, you know, name brand clothes. And we take pride in giving our children all of that stuff. We feel good about feeding our children a wholesome, solid meal. And we should. We feel good about getting their haircuts and getting their hair done, getting their nails and their toes done. We feel good about all of that thing. But we do all of that and fail to give them faith in God. Listen, they can ascertain and gain the whole world. And if they don't have faith in God, they'll lose the most important and valuable thing they have. And that's their soul. Listen, your children ought to see you waking up on Sunday morning, getting your clothes on, getting yourself ready, humming the Lord's song on your way to church. And when you get to church, you don't stop singing because you're at church. You intensify your song and increase your song. You sing more. They ought to see you giving unto the Lord. They ought to see you praying. They ought to see you reading the Bible. They ought to see you at Bible study. They ought to see your faith in action. We give them everything but faith in God. Now faith, you know, is optional when they are even babies. You know, we don't bring them on to church, you know. We used to drug them or drag them. Now they're telling us, come on in here, where they want to go and if they want to go or not. And we sitting there saying, okay. You didn't have no okay when you come up. Where you get this okay from? We have opportunity to pass on our faith. Listen, your children ought to see you operate by faith when you are in a tight, when you are in a jam, when circumstances of life is stacked up against you, but you yet have faith in God. You're not pacing the floor. You're sitting somewhere cool and collected because you know God is going to come through. They ought to see your faith in action. Joseph saw Jacob's faith. And now that his father is at the point of death, he wants to bring his boys in who were born in Egypt. Born to an Egyptian mother who has a Hebrew father. But he wanted them to know God of his father. So he brings the boys in. He have him sitting on his knees as he's talking with his father. And while he's there, he want his father to lay his hands on them. Now, the question I have for you this morning: are you blessed enough to give blessings away? What is it that your children can get from you? Are you blessed of God where you can lay your hands and bless somebody else? Are you in the praise or the pitiful line? See, God blesses. He told Abraham that I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless you so much that all nations will be blessed. He wasn't in the pitiful line. He was in the praise and the blessed line. Because the hand of God rested upon his life. It went from Abraham to Isaac. Isaac, now it is with Jacob. And Jacob notice. He doesn't lay his hand on Joseph to bless Joseph, his youngest of 12. Instead, he takes his hand and he lays his hand, his right hand particularly, on the youngest son of Joseph, which is Ephraim. And then he takes his left hand and lays it on the head of the eldest, which is Manasseh. Now, hold that thought. I'll be back to it in a minute. There's something that happens before he blesses. Now, the text, verse 21, is not in chronological order, because he leans upon his staff and worships God in chapter 47. But he blesses the boys in chapter 48. So worship goes before blessings. See, before he blessed the boys, he worshiped God. Oh, he worshiped God. He worshiped God. He worshiped God. See, faith in God, he's old now, he's at the point of death, he's weak because he has to have a staff to lean forward. And the Bible says that he leaned forward, bowing himself and worship. He worshiped. Now, this is the reason he worshiped. He tells Joseph that he doesn't want his remains buried in Egypt. He says, take my remains when I die. Take my remains to Canaan, back to the homeland, and bury my remains among my fathers. I don't want to rest in Egypt. I want to rest among my fathers. And he tells Joseph to take his hand and put it under his thigh and vow that he would take his remains back to Canaan. Now, the text says that he bowed himself, which means that he worshiped God. He didn't worship God because of Joseph's vow. He worshiped God because he believed the word of God, that God would return the children of Israel back to the land. Now, notice they have been in the land about 13 years, and they are on a 400 plus year sentence in Egypt. But he says to his son, take my remains back to the land. He believed that God was going to hear the cry of Israel, see the tears of the people, and that God would send an emancipator to deliver them out of Egypt back into the promised land. Somebody here, you know God is true to his word, and you ought to praise him and worship him because he's true to his word. You may not have it yet. You may not be at that point yet. You may not be holding it. You may not possess it, but you know God is true to his promise. And if God said it, he's going to settle it. You may be sicker than sick, but if he told you you're going to get well, you're going to get well. You may be broker than broke, but if he told you that he's going to bless you, you're going to be blessed. He may have walked out on you, and she may have walked out on you. You may be lonelier than lonely, but if he told you he's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother, you got to take him at his word. Look at somebody and tell him, take him at his word. He could worship because he believed the promises of God. I may not have it yet, but because he told me, that's good enough for me. He's old and he's worshiping. Now, he's old and he's worshiping. He's old. And he's worshiping. Young folks, how can you let folks old beat you worshiping? He's old and feeble. He's weak in his body. And he's worshiping. He has some physical abnormalities, some physical restraints, but he didn't allow the physical problems that he had to stop him from worshiping. Now here you are, healthy as a bull and strong as a mule, and you won't worship God? You got all of your faculties. You can raise your hands. You can stomp your feet. You can open your mouth and praise God, and you won't worship God? There's nothing that's bothering you. You are good in your physical body, your physical frame, and you're going to let somebody with abnormalities beat you praising God? He was old. Weak in his body, at the point of death, praising God, worshiping God. Now, let me give you the point. Faith gives you the ability to overcome physical and human frailty. He was at the point of death. But he did what old folks would say over from where I'm from. He mustered up some strength. And he worshiped God. See, faith doesn't necessarily keep you from being physically weak, but it does keep you spiritually fit. See, that's why people in wheelchairs, on canes, can come to church and praise and worship God. Because faith doesn't necessarily keep you from becoming or being physically weak, but it keeps you spiritually fit. That even if I don't feel like it in my body, there's something on the inside of me that'll make me open my mouth and show forth the work of God in my life. Jesus himself said that the body is weak, but the spirit is willing. Paul said he was weak in his body, and when he was weak in his body, he called on the name of Jesus, and Jesus heard him. He didn't remove the thorn, the thing that was causing the weakness, but his grace became a strength in his life. Listen, when you got a desire to do it for God, what God will do is give it to you. He'll give you the strength you need to praise him, to worship him, to work for him, to witness for him. He'll give it to you. If you got a desire, he'll give it to you. He didn't promise you that you always feel like it. But if you want to, you'll find yourself strengthened. The problem is most people don't want to. And they're trying to get out of what honors God. They're trying to get out of the activity of their faith because they'd rather have a conversation, more of a conversation than conduct. But when you want to, faith in God will overcome your physical frailty. But not only does faith in God overcome your physical frailty, but faith in God gives you the ability to bless others according to God's design. Joseph is in front of him, and he doesn't lay his hands on Joseph. He looks beyond Joseph. That's why Joseph is not named as one of the 12 tribes. One of the tribes don't bear his name because he didn't bless Joseph. But the boys, the two boys of Joseph, bear names of tribes. The tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Ephraim. Now, it's God's design, because here it is again, that God chooses to bless the youngest of the two. He chooses to bless the younger. He chooses to bless Ephraim with the firstborn blessing. Now, let me help you. This is not the promise that all nations will be blessed through the seed, because the seed of Abraham is not through Joseph. It is not through Ephraim or Manasseh. It's through Judah. But he takes his hand to bless the boys with the firstborn blessing. He blesses one with the firstborn blessings, and then he blesses the other. Watch him. Joseph takes the boys, and he takes Manasseh, and he put Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. And he takes Ephraim, being the youngest, and he puts him at his left hand. Father not being able to see, but he's led of God. Manasseh at his right hand, the eldest, and Ephraim at his left. And not being able to see, but being in tune with God, he crosses. Y'all missing. He crossed the hands, and he laid his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Manasseh's head. And Joseph said, "Daddy, you got the wrong blessing. You're supposed to bless Manasseh with the firstborn blessing and Ephraim with what's left." But no, he said, "God told me that I'm to bless Ephraim with the firstborn blessing and Manasseh with what's left, because Ephraim will be the greatest of the two." Listen, God knows what he's doing. And God can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. You can't tell God how to bless you, nor can you tell God how to bless somebody else. You need to stay in your lane and stay out of God's way and stay out of God's place. You need to let God be God, because when God get ready to pour out his blessing, he pour out his blessing by his own design. He didn't bless Manasseh with the firstborn blessing, but he blessed Ephraim, and Ephraim became the greatest of the northern kingdom, because the blessings of God rested upon his life. And that's all I came to tell you, that when you look at your life is designed as God would have it designed. Your life is blessed according to God's design. You may not have
what somebody else got. You may not be where somebody else at, but you ought to thank God for what you have. You ought to thank God for where you're at, because where you are, God brought you. What you have, God gave it to you. You ought to high five somebody and tell them that I'm worshiping God for what God is doing in my life. And every time I turn around, he's doing something else for me. Every time I'm down, he's picking me up. Every time I'm out, he's bringing me in. It may not be what he's doing in your life, but I'm glad for what he's doing in my life. He crosses his hands. I was on the right side, but he crossed his hands. I was on the left side, but he crossed his hands. Thank God for the cross. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. You know what happened at the cross? They hanged him on the cross. He died on the cross. They took him down from the cross, put his body in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got out of the grave with all power in his hand. Let me ask you, and I'm going on to my seat, ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, you ought to slip your hand in somebody's hand and shake him, and shake him, and shake that hand and tell your neighbor the reason you worship. Because if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you don't know where you be. But because he's on your side, you sitting or standing up in here, up in here. Praise his name. You ought to tell somebody, I made it up in here by his grace. I made it up in here by his mercy. I made it up in here because of his love. It was love that lifted me. If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah. The doors, everyone to your feet, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. God, cross the hands of Jacob. God blesses according to his own design. You can't determine the blessings of God. God alone designs and destines blessings. I'm happy. I have joy that he has designed a blessing for my life. It may not be yours. It may not be yours. It may not be yours. But what God got for me, it is for me. He worshiped because he believed the promise of God. You may not have it yet, but don't you give up on believing. Don't you give up on trusting God. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent.
If he said it, he will bring it to pass. Delay does not mean denial. He praised God 400 years before his children and grandchildren would be freed from the land. 400 years. That's a long time to wait on God. But God is worth waiting on. That's all I'm doing in this pandemic. Post, that's all I was doing. Pandemic and pre-pandemic, trusting in the Word of God. And that's what God wants you to do. Listen, when you're going through, you need a word from the Lord that you can hang on to. Often I ask people that ask me to pray for them, I say, well, what is your foundational verse? Foundational passage. What do you believe in God for? Because you can't borrow faith. And let me tell you something else. Faith is not instantly matured. It's a process. You're going to have some experiences with God where God allows you to go through some tough situations in your life. Some hard times in your life. I'm reminded of the Hebrew boys. They said, our God is able. If he don't deliver us, he's able. And sometimes God won't keep you from going in, but he'll get in there with you. Oh! He'll get in there with you. And he'll keep what was meant to destroy you from destroying you. But you got to have experiences. That's why you're going through all that trouble, because God is allowing you. So you'll know him through experiences. And guess what? When you get to the next little bump in the road, you won't worry like you did before. Because you had opportunity of watching God make a way out of no way, turning your midnight into midday. I got to quit the doors. The Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here, you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. If you can believe in your heart, confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you can do that, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Second, if you're here in need of a church home, Lord has laid you Bethlehem in your heart. I was talking to a gentleman this morning. He said to me, he says, I've been out of church for 20 years and I've been looking. And I said to him that church membership is spiritual. See, when you are spiritually connected with God, you can't go where you want to. You go where he plants you. Said to another gentleman some years ago, I said, it's not all the same. All churches are not the same. If it was so, there would only have been one letter. But churches have personalities. And you don't fit all of them. That's why he wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, a letter to the church at Philippi, a letter to the church at Corinth, a letter to the church of Galatia. Because they were different. Now they had some similarities, but not all the same. content. He didn't say to the church at Corinth what he said to the church at Philippi. He said to the church at Philippi, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say that to Philippi. I mean, he didn't say that to Corinth because Corinth was stingy. They had money, but they wouldn't give it. Whereas the church at Philippi, church of Macedonia, didn't have, but they liberally gave what they had. It's not all the same. You need to make sure you're plugged in to where you belong. I see people just running from place to place, going from place to place, a little something new over there. They'll run over there and get a little new. And when new gets old, then they run on over and get something else new. It's not all the same. You better be where God plant you. You better stay where God plant you. Thirdly, and I'm done, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of God is open to you. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by ladder. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't you let death catch you with your work undone. Come on. The devil is hoping that you procrastinate. He's hoping that you put off. And God is saying, come. Because now faith is. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Give the Lord your life. Give him your soul. Say it, say it. Rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen.